I'm going to read the word while you're standing from Isaiah chapter 40, and I want you to listen as the word of God is read. Isaiah chapter 40, beginning with verse 27. Here's what the word of God says. Why do you say, O Jacob, and speak Israel? My way is hidden from the Lord, and my just claim is passed over by my God. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, he increases strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Amen. Father, in Jesus' name, I pray your blessing be added to the reading of your word. May your blessing be added to the attitude of the hearts of the worshipers today. May you realize, as Jesus said, that they that worship you must worship you in truth and in spirit. Father, may we submit ourselves completely to your lordship. May we hear from your word. And may we all go away changed today. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Thank you. Be seated. Thank you so much for singing and realizing where we are and why we're here today. I went back and looked at this text for today, being in the Christmas season. It's a text that I have used in the past. In over 31 years of pastoring, I have used several texts more than once. But I tell you something I always learn about the Word of God. I was in a church once where a lady was listening to her pastor preach. He called out the text, and she opened her Bible. And because she was a really good little student of sermons, she had written down that text had been expounded upon in the past. She quickly, in frustration, closed her Bible and said, I've done heard all that. I'm not going to listen to that again. She got up and left her seat, thinking that she was more spiritual than anybody in the house. The truth of the matter is, friend, is you and I can't live enough lifetimes to exhaust the truth that's found in the Word of God. Many times over my years, I have gone back and read texts and read chapters that the Lord has shown me things that I was previously unaware of. It's because I'm on a journey. I'm not omnipotent, omniscient, or omnipresent, but He's all three. And because I'm leaning and trusting in Him, I certainly need His grace and mercy. But this Christmas season is one that is, in many ways, like a lot of Christmas seasons. Most of you that are my age and older, we've lived through a bunch of them. Amen? We've had some good times. We've had bad times. We've had in-between times. But at the Christmas season, I'm always reminded as I look around, I look and see people from all walks of life and all different situations. I see people who have very little who have quite a bit of joy in the season. I see people who are blessed with many, many wonderful earthly things that still can't find true happiness or joy in the Christmas season. You see, the difference is where you're finding your joy from. When you find your joy from things that are temporary, then your joy will be temporary. But when you find your joy in things that are eternal, then your joy will last even when your temporary resources have run out. I think back, and I was looking back over my journals and my journey about some Christmas seasons of the past. You know, there was a period of my life, I don't know, and I'm a very transparent, open person. I'm an open book kind of guy. I don't have a lot of hidden stuff. I mean, you know, I've got in my pocket here two addictions that I have. And I'm just going to say my name is Brent and I have a problem. One is the CarMax, okay? CarMax, I'm telling you, the wind's got blowing, it's got cold, and I mean, I've got CarMax in my dash console, my bag, my desk, beside my bed. I mean, I should have stock in CarMax, but I just don't like my lips hurting, right? So I buy CarMax. And the other's Blow Pops. See, I became an addicted to Blow Pops in high school because I was a football player and wrestler, so I didn't play basketball. I didn't play girl sports, so I was a wrestler, and I got a mess with puberty's up. Take it easy. He done got ticked, and I ain't even in the sermon yet. No, I don't like watching guys dribbling their shorts. But anyhow, I know, I'm kidding. My buddies that played football with me were basketball players. The reason they played basketball and I wrestled is they were good at that, and I wouldn't. I mean, you two left-footed people don't need to play basketball. That's why they make wrestling for people like me. And so I go to the basketball games, and y'all remember all you 80s kids, 80s adolescents, remember when we used to get a Blow Pop and you get a Coca-Cola and you dip your Blow Pop in your Coca-Cola? Just made that Coca-Cola better. Marty, did you ever try that? Y'all didn't have Coca-Cola at Weed Alley. I'm sorry, it wasn't there yet, okay? But nevertheless, I do. I'm a very open person. And I think that's helped me a lot. Sometimes it hurts me a lot because I wear my heart out here in front of me, and it gets stepped on sometimes, and that's okay. The calling of God is going, you can't close your heart off, but that's all right. But here's the deal. I look back at some Christmases. I had some Christmas seasons where I had times of deep sorrow and sadness. Y'all ever had those? I had some Christmas seasons where I would shed a lot of tears and didn't even know why. I don't know if you've ever gone through that at the holidays. Some people say, oh, I have the after Christmas blues. Well, I had the before, during, and after. And had struggles with that, you know. My children grew up in a pastor's home, and if you grew up in a pastor's home, you will understand some of this. Riddle and all my buddies can't really fully grasp it because we grew up before social media and before texting and all that kind of stuff. You actually had to get on your bicycle, ride over to your buddy's house and see what he got for Christmas. He couldn't snap it to you, or, you know, whatever they call it, you know, face chat, snapbook. I mean, whatever they, you couldn't do that. So when my kids grow up in my home, if they got anything for Christmas, and y'all wouldn't be like this, but whatever they got for Christmas, they weren't like their friends. They couldn't take their pictures and put it on their social media page because you wouldn't believe how brutal people can be to pastors if they buy their child a North Face jacket or something like that. And it took a lot to do that, you know. We tried to give our girls the best we could, and I've apologized to them a lot of times. Wish I could have done more, but, you know, the thing is I'm grateful to God for how they've turned out, and they're still turning out because their daddy's still turning out, right? But there was a lot of times it would be sadness because of the fact that I wasn't always able to allow them to enjoy things a lot of the kids did. And it wasn't that I said, you can't do that. They just kind of knew, if that makes sense. Well, I want you to know I'm grateful, and I want you to know I find more joy at Christmas. And, you know, a lot of it's because we got Christmas in the true Dixie, the heart of Dixie here, right? I was not in exile in Babylon. I'm not there anymore. No, I loved my time in Georgia. I made a lot of great friends in Georgia. I made a lot of great brothers and sisters in Christ. I love them dearly. I miss some of them so much. I wish I could have just loaded up a bunch of them and brought them with me. Now, I'd have left some of them behind. I'm going to be honest with you, okay? I wish I could have brought some of them with me because, man, they would have just been, y'all would have been best buddies with them like I was. So there's some good things. But, you know, years ago, there was this song, and it was very popular back in the 60s, and I read about it, and I read about how that our friend Andy Williams made it very popular. It's the number one song in 1963. It's called "It's the Most Wonderful Time of the Year." And I want you to know it is wonderful in the fact that we have a risen Savior who was born in a stable, born of a virgin. I believe these things. You say, well, that doesn't sound plausible or even possible. Well, I want you to know the things that are impossible with man are possible with God, according to Luke chapter 1. And I want you to know that I believe without a doubt that's the way Jesus came. He was born of a virgin. He was born in a dirty stable in Bethlehem. But I want you to know he was still the same king in that dirty stable as he is on the throne in glory today. He came into this world, and it is the most wonderful time because of that. But I want you to know, I don't ever want you as a church to ever lose sight of the hurt and all of the difficulty and the pain that people are going on around you, even during the holidays, that doesn't make the time so wonderful for them. About 20 years ago now, it's hard to believe it's been 20 years ago, but Marty, you believe that Chris Tomlin released How Great Is Our God 20 years ago. That makes us all feel really young, don't it? I can remember my girls just going through the house, "How great is our God?" And I thought, wow, that's awesome. And I remember Caitlin singing specifically this song that was very popular in the early 2000s by Avalon called "Everything to Me." More than a story, more than words on a page in history. You're the air that I breathe and the water I thirst for. I tell you, it's just amazing how wonderful this time of year is because of Jesus. But 2004, he released that song. And when I look at this text, I can't help but begin to hum the song's words, "How great is our God," in my heart and mind when I read from Isaiah chapter 40 today. So as we study the scriptures today, I want you to keep in mind that these words that I just read a moment ago were written originally to address a group of discouraged Jewish refugees who were on the long way home, had many difficult tasks behind them, and even ahead of them once they returned to their homeland. But repeatedly, God uses the words, "Fear not." Somebody once told me, and I've never went and checked it, you can probably Google it or get your blue letter Bible out and count it, but somebody told me that there's 365 fear nots in the Bible, and that's one for every day. I guess the fear not away keeps the devil away. I don't know. But anyhow, that's not really what's most important, how many or how many per day or whatever. But what's important is that Scripture constantly reminds us to live without fear. Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy 1:7, says God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. He did this to assure his people of his pardon and his presence. I'm grateful. I used to hear preachers talk about what it meant to live in the free pardon of sin. I had no clue what they were talking about. I'd hear preachers talk about the rapture of the church, and I thought one day that I was going to ride my bicycle by Edwardsville Baptist Church, and the building was literally going to be lifted into heaven. I was just thinking, wow, you know, this is pretty amazing. I didn't understand the theology or the context or all of those things, but I learned what it meant to live in the free pardon of sin when I realized that I was a sinner, repented of my sins, trusted Jesus as my Savior, and now the pardon that I receive from Jesus, listen, is better than anything ever. We've heard a lot about pardons in the news lately, and I want you to know, I'm not talking about political pardons. That's not what it's about. Those are just for this lifetime and there for a specific time. I'm talking about an eternal pardon that only Jesus Christ can make possible for you, that can make this Christmas time not just the most wonderful time of the year, but will make it the most wonderful year in your life as you begin a new journey with Jesus Christ. See, one of the attributes of God is that he encourages us when we are discouraged, and that he's always with us and he will never leave us. In the Old Testament, he told his people, "I've loved you with an everlasting love." He's taught us in the book of Hebrews that he will never leave us nor forsake us. And one of the things that ought to comfort us most is our relationship with God, because he's the only one that can be there when everybody else is unavailable. Amen. I also had another little hang up when I was a young boy. Y'all didn't have any. Y'all had it all figured out. But I want to tell you, I didn't have any brothers or sisters, so when I'd get scared at night, I mean, there wasn't nobody. I used to hear my girls, and look here, it's so funny. Caitlin's 7 years older than Brooklyn, but I would hear Caitlin say, "Brooklyn, you want to sleep with me? I hear it might storm tonight." Brooke would be like, "Okay, scaredy cat." You know, the baby would go, "Okay." So, anyway, so I didn't have anybody. So, but I did have a friend, and his name was Winnie the Pooh. That's why I called Noah Pooh Bear, because he reminds me of my Winnie the Pooh, right? I don't want to snuggle up or spoon with Noah, so don't y'all get any idea. Just y'all gonna go over there. I saw y'all's wheels going, no. But me and old Pooh, man, we made, and look, you won't believe this. I got Pooh when I was 9 months old, so that means he's at least 30 years old. But anyhow, you know what? I still got my original Pooh Bear. Now, he don't look so good no more. He looks rougher than I do. But I kept him around. You know why? Because he was my only friend when I didn't have one, right? No, but listen to me. Even in those times, you know what? I could talk to that old Pooh Bear all I wanted. He couldn't talk back to me. But when Israel was faced with the impossibilities of a tomorrow, they reminded themselves of the greatness and the goodness and the awesomeness of God. And I believe at this Christmas season, maybe it's time that you and I be reminded of the greatness and the goodness and the awesomeness of God that will help us, because you'll have times of sadness even when everybody else is happy. You'll be happy when others are sad, but I want you to know that there is one constant in our lives as children of God, and that is the presence of the indwelling Spirit of God that must lead us and guide us in truth, and also must correct us in wrong and lead us in paths of righteousness. Let me walk with you through. We've got some pro-presenter issues today, but Carla put some outlines out, and I'll get through part of this that I can. So I know some of you are like, "You need to get started on point one because we are burning time." But listen, you know I love y'all. I really do. Notice the vitality of our God. To the people of God, we're not focusing on the goodness and grace of God in those days. They were focused more on the challenges ahead of them. They complained to God as if he was unaware of their situation. Friend, I want you to know God is always aware of where his children are. Look, some of y'all got this on your kids, and if your mom and daddy's got this on you, don't you say a word. They love you. They're not trying to spy on you. They are trying to take care of you in a very evil and crooked world, and it's called Life 360. Right? Now, y'all can learn all these tricks. Look here. Y'all think y'all learn new tricks? Look, we invented them way back yonder. You can leave your phone over here and go over there and all that kind. Eventually, mom and dad are going to catch up with your tricks, and it's going to be rough, right? But I'm just saying they do this because we live in a very evil and wicked world. Just a trip to the grocery store, you never know. Trip across over into Calhoun County for shopping, you never know. Trip into Birmingham, Atlanta, a trip to church. I mean, you never know what might happen. Your parents are very aware of where you are and what's going on. And that's okay. You know why they want to be aware? Because they love you, they care about you, and they will do anything to provide for your protection and security. Can I say to you that the eternal God of the heavens and the earth, can I say to you that the Lord Jesus Christ himself is very aware and moving and working in your life? He cares about where you are, where you've been, and where you're going. Amen. You ever see these little cop shows, you know, the little Oxford U.S. cops? I've told y'all, please drive careful. I don't want to watch y'all on YouTube, okay? If you see me on there, Lord help us. But anyhow, here's the thing. They'll go up and they'll say, "Hey, where are you headed?" Everybody's going home, right? Now, that's what they tell the policeman, but I'm going to go ahead and go out on a limb and say they might be lying to the policeman. "Where have you been?" "Nowhere." "You had anything to drink tonight?" "No." "Really, come on, man. You've had a little something to drink, now I can smell it." "Well, maybe one or two," right? I don't know if they were that tall, but anyhow, I'm just saying, he's going. Nobody comes out and says, "Look, man, I'm headed to a dope drop. I'm on my way from my dope dealer, and I've been drinking since 6 o'clock this morning. None of them tell that, do they? Now, that would probably more like the truth, but they don't do that. They try to mask the truth. But ladies and gentlemen, I want you to know, Warren Wiersbe said this about those who complained about their situation. He said, and instead of seeing the open door, the Jews only saw the long road before them, and they complained that they did not have the strength for the journey. God was asking them to do the impossible. When I read this, I can't help but think about where we are as a church today. Well, I want you to know, it is so good to see all of you filling the house two weeks before Christmas. Y'all fill the house every week. Even in the summer when we've got people on mission trips and vacations, there's still a house full of people every week. But can I say this to you? There are still thousands of people beyond the doors of this church that are lost and dying and going to hell. And if we look and we say, boy, our church is full, this is awesome. No, what we need to see is the Bible says hell enlarges itself day by day. That means it's making room for people that were never meant to go there. We can't get satisfied or complacent that God is doing great things among us when he may be wanting to do things that blow our mind. And I know what you say. Well, preacher, I've watched about them mega churches. And I've watched about when churches get too big. And I want to tell you, it's just a big problem when they do. Oh, look, hear me. The problem isn't the churches. The problem is when people misbehave in sin. That can happen in a church of 5 or 50,000. Amen? What we've got to get our eyes on is who's lost without God, how we can get them to the cross and see the Lord change their life. And ladies and gentlemen, let God decide about the church. Amen? I look around us and I see the possibilities, I see the opportunities, I see things beginning to expand. And I know sometimes, like I say, some folks can't, I give you a donut and you couldn't enjoy it because it's got a hole in it. I mean, I promise you. I understand that. I've been a pastor long enough to know. And I know, look here, we talk about, I know we've got dirt in the parking lot. Praise God for the dirt. At least it ain't molding. Amen. Are y'all with me? I mean, hey, look here. I want you to know, praise. We're gonna clean everything. I praise God for all of our people. Man, we've had people give countless hours and time and effort and energy to come help us get to this point. To God be the glory. Man, you know what? If it takes it, I'll get out there after church with a flat shovel. Y'all won't believe it. I still know how to operate one, and we'll get it. You know why? Because I want to see people come to faith in Christ. I want to see a church set on fire from heaven. I want to see people's lives set ablaze for the glory of God, and I want to see the glory of God fall on his church. Oh, that he'd bring the glory back. Amen? Yeah. Glory to God that he'd bring the glory back. In America today, we think the Lord might be a little unconcerned about our situation. Some of you say, well, you know what? It's going to be okay now. We've got a Republican president coming in. He ain't gonna fix it. Well, you know what, preacher? It would have been all right if we'd kept the Democrats. They couldn't fix it. You know why? Because our problems are not political. They're spiritual. You can rearrange deck chairs on the Titanic. It won't keep it from sinking. There needs to be a movement from the inside out. There needs to be a movement of the power of the Spirit of God. There needs to be hearts set on fire with the gospel today, set aflame for the Word of God today. I want to tell you, if we're going to see something happen, it won't start in Washington. I pray it spreads to Washington, but it's going to start in little places like Cleveland County, Alabama, in little counties all across this nation, and just small remnants of people who just get a hot heart for God and just say, God, you're going to be true, and we're going to follow you regardless of what it takes. It's going to take remnants of people. I'm talking about little campfires that spread into wildfires. Amen. That's what it's going to take. We think God's not there. We think he's unaware of what's going on in our streets. We think he's unaware of the hatred in the hearts of so many. We think he's unaware of the present pain all around us. But if we think for one minute that God is unaware or unconcerned about our situation, we're sadly mistaken. God is always aware of what's taking place in this world. Remember when we studied the book of the Revelation? He is sovereign over all creation. Even when things are spinning out of chaos into chaos, he is still aware and still in control. I see this happen today when people begin to doubt the presence, the power, and the viability of our Heavenly Father. And I believe the greatest danger we face today is when we inaccurately measure our own self-worth. Do you know why sometimes in those Christmas seasons I told you about that I struggle? It's because I would inaccurately measure my own personal worth. You've probably done that before too. When we do that, it's very dangerous. Sometimes as pastors, we can base our worth to the kingdom of God on things that are totally not what they ought to be. We can base it on numbers, attendance, baptisms, budget offerings. And when these things go up, we feel like we're doing okay, we're accomplished, we're successful. But I want you to hear me. When those numbers go down, we'll look around and say, well, you know, it must be my fault. I once had a music director, Marty, told me this. Marty, I really appreciate you. You never tell me this. If you tell me this, I'm going to tell you what I told him, okay? You ready? You think you can handle it? Yeah, okay, all right. He said, preacher, the reason my choir numbers have gone down is you're not getting enough people in here to give me people to pull from. So the reason his choir was getting smaller is because of me, right? It couldn't have possibly been that he kept drama stirred up in the choir all the time and keeping people mad. It couldn't have possibly been that after choir practice was over, he'd want to preach for 30 minutes or so. It couldn't have possibly been that kind of stuff. It couldn't have possibly been anything like that. It couldn't have possibly been those things and all the different dramatic things and getting into arguing, fussing, fighting with the band and the soloists and all. It couldn't have possibly been that. It had to be my fault because I wasn't giving him enough people to pull from. I want you to hear me today, Joan. There may be some of you right here in this building today. You may feel as though you're not worth much. You may have felt like that your life is not accomplishing much. You may have allowed people to judge you with wrong standards. Lord knows I've done that a lot in my time. But I want you to hear me today. This is how much you're worth. You're worth so much that the sovereign God of the universe willingly gave his only son to purchase eternal life for you. Man, that's enough to make a Presbyterian shout right there, okay? I can hear them right now at the Presbyterian church going, glory! But anyhow, look, hear me. That's how much you're worth. He's chosen you. You belong to him. You are his. He is yours forever. Isaac Watts wrote in 1707, when I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died, my richest gain I count but loss in poor contempt on all my pride. Notice the second thing. We notice his victory, not just his vitality. One of the greatest blessings in the life of God is knowing that the Lord always comes on the scene in our darkest hours. Scott, I think back, you pastored through COVID like I did. You watch family struggle. I watch families in this church lose loved ones. I watch people get really sick. But Scott had to deal with something I didn't. He had to carry his wife to the hospital and never saw her again. And I don't say that to make my brother sad. He knows my heart. He's a pastor. We got to help each other. I say it as this. And when things like that happen in our life, what Brother Scott went through, what Miss Debbie went through. Tragically, I'm sure there were some dark hours you wondered, God, what I do cause this? God, have I let you down? God, am I that big of a mess? And then one day Karen Bryant shows up in your life. Oh, love connection 2.0. Karen's out today, isn't she? Good. Would someone please not text her and tell her to turn on the service? If you're watching, hey, Karen, go Dabo. And by the way, if you're a Christian, you can't help but pull for old Dabo, can you? I mean, you know, you just can't help it. Even if it looks like they're keeping us out of the playoffs. You can't help but pull for Dabo, man, because what's he doing, man? He's giving glory to God. Last week they told him your season's over, you're going to a junk bowl, you might go to the GoDaddy.com or something like that, and you're over, you just plan for next year. But missing all that, they get a chance, and then they got the chance, they see the chance. So what I'm saying is, Love Connection 2.0, Karen shows up, and she says, hey, you know, I know two people that are heartbroken that might make a good go of it. And, Debbie, you've done good training them up. I've told Angie, if I die, never talk to Karen Bryan again. I said, because, honey, I'm telling you, she ain't even going to get close. No, I'm kidding. Well, here's the deal. I'm going to land this plane, okay? I really wanted to just talk to my church family today because that's what y'all are. Do y'all realize? I'll be transparent here again with you. Angie and I have never had a whole lot of family that were deeply, fully devoted to following Jesus. Now, that ain't the way we wanted it, and we still pray that every day that changed, but it's not. We laid in bed for years praying for her alcoholic father. And 11 years before he died, he got radically saved. He went from drinking every day to zero without any withdrawals. That had to be God. That had to be. You say, why did he do that for all those years? Because he was lost. You know why lost people act like lost people? It's because they're lost people. Lost people act like the world because that's all they know. They've not been transformed. So we have seen God do some good things, but that's why the church family has always been so important to us. Because there were so many years we lived away from family and had nobody. But God put people. He provided me a biscuit maker, and she made good gravy too. Bring it by church. I weighed a lot less, but that biscuit lady, I'm telling you, Miss Glenda Brumbelow, Lord have mercy. But the church family matters to me. And this is why every Christian needs one, because listen to me. In your blood family, sometimes there will be things happen. If they're not followers of Jesus, they won't understand why you do what you do, how you react the way you act, or the decisions you make. It will be foreign to them because they don't have a biblical worldview. But hopefully down at the church house, tell you, we find people that can rally around us. Right? That's why it's been so important for y'all, Scott and Debbie, and so many more of you. There's been pastors come through here that just needed a place to heal up, right? My old buddy Jeff Layton down at Hepsby, but he tells me every time he sees him, because there's about a year and a half he was in between churches, and he came here, man, and he was so, and sang in the choir and did whatever, and he'll tell me every time he sees him, he said, Brother Brent, I'll always be thankful to you and Heflin Baptist. Y'all helped us get back in there and get back in the game, man. I tell you, we was downtrodden, but God used y'all. That's pretty awesome, isn't it? That's a good ministry. But the body of Christ ought to be a place to find healing. I wonder what kind of healing you need this Christmas. My wife and children will tell you there were times at Christmas that I would do everything I could just to find happiness just for them. I struggled. Some of you won't admit you struggle because you're too proud to. And some of you will walk out there and say, if a preacher admits he struggles, he ain't much of a preacher. Well, I want to tell you, a preacher that doesn't admit that he's human isn't much of nothing. Right? But I want to going to tell you where I found grace, where I found peace, and where I found my completeness was in my relationship with Jesus Christ and my relationship with the body of Christ. And can I just say this before I close? Being here for Christmas is one of the greatest blessings I've ever had. I could not be more grateful. This church has taught me so much by loving me so strong this year. It's caused me to swallow my own pride some. It's caused me to realize I'm not Superman. The Christmas before I came home was Christmas 2015. And I knew I was supposed to already be home, Bobby. But I was stubborn. And I wasn't really stubborn. I just wanted to be sure. I don't want to hurt the people I love. Y'all all right? And I hope I'm not hurting y'all. But I laid in bed and I watched Steve Gaines and his daughter. And we'll probably do this for Christmas Eve, so don't kick us out of the SBC. But I watched, if you do, that'll be all right. I watched Steve Gaines and his daughter as he played the guitar at their Christmas Eve service, and they sang Christmas in Dixie. And I laid in my bed, wept, knew, and I was supposed to be here, and I wasn't. And I thought the chance to come home was past. But God, who is rich in mercy, God, who is long-suffering to knuckleheads like me, gave me the opportunity to come back that next year. And I am forever grateful. 2024 has been a great year for Heflin Baptist Church. But I believe 2025 is going to be even better. Amen. Let me tell you, you say, well, everybody says that. Preachers say that because that's preacher talk. No, I really mean that. But it will not be great unless we have one heart, one voice, and one purpose. May our hearts beat with his, and may God be glorified through the ministry of Heflin Baptist Church. Pray with me. Father, somebody here to this day is not having a wonderful time. Somebody's having the time of their life. Some are all in between. Some today know they need to make a decision to follow you. Some need to follow you in believers' baptism. Some of your children need to unite with this local body. They need a family. Thank you for my spiritual family. Thank you for my precious, precious wife, my precious daughters, my precious grandson, and I thank you for the one to come. I thank you so much for this family because you taught me so much through your children. God, today, may you change somebody's life. And may they leave here a born-again child of God. I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Stand with me if you would. Talked. And I've shared with you differently than I most of the time do. But I felt like there were just some things that I wanted to encourage you to do. Share with you where I've been. Where I'm going. And hopefully give you strength to follow Christ today. Marty's going to lead us. You need to make a decision for Jesus. You step in that nearest aisle and you come to Christ. Marty, when you're ready.
I hear the Savior say, to live life.
come to the Lord today, friend. Give yourself completely to Him. Singing that you come now.
Let's do that fourth verse. And when before the throne I stand and incomplete, Jesus died my soul to save, my lips shall still repeat, Jesus paid it.
I want you to look this way right here just for a second while the music plays. Wednesday night I got home and Brother Chris sent me a picture, texted me a picture, and he says, you got to see this. And I was so blessed. The picture was of teardrops on the altar down in the cave. That got me, Joe. That got me. I'm like, hallelujah. So we got kids dropping tears. You know what? Those tears could be for their own confession, repentance. They could also be a burden for you. That's what I thought. I just pray that as older adults, we don't ever get too proud to drop those tears on the altar steps. We don't ever get so caught up in the temporary, we forget the eternal. On this last verse here today, if you still need to do business with God, I invite you to come. If you need to make a decision about your salvation, you need to follow the Lord and believers' baptism, or you want to make Heflin Baptist your church home, we invite you to come on this verse. You let me know that decision, and I will rejoice with you today, okay? Marty, lead us. You come as Marty leads us, even now.
First verse. I hear the Savior say, thy strength indeed is small, child of weakness, watch and pray, find in me thine all and all. Jesus made it
all. Thank the Lord for His word today. Amen. Thank you. You can be seated. Thank you so much. Ushers are coming. As they're coming now to receive our morning tithes and offerings, I just want to encourage you to be faithful as always. Stay faithful and consistently and joyfully giving to support the work of what God is doing. And God's up to something good, Ray. I really believe that. Old guy told me one time, said, God's got something going on. I'm going on with God. Amen. So let's stay focused on that. Let's give faithfully today and encourage the work of the ministry through our local church. So let's join our hearts together and ask God's blessings on our giving. Thank you. Thank you, Miss Connie. Thank you so much. Well, awesome, awesome. Thank you so much for your kind attention today. I trust you'll go away helped. I trust you'll go away encouraged. I trust that God will continue to work in your life, and keep your eyes on folks around you. Like I said, it's easy to get inwardly looking instead of outwardly focused during times like this. So let's do that. I'm grateful to be a part of a church that is dedicated to supporting the work of missions from across the street to around the world. I'm grateful to be a part of a church that's looking to a future with hope and looking there with expectation of God doing great things. So let's just pray going into this week. Just remember, look at your bulletin, a lot going on this week. Wednesday night, make sure you're in your place at 6. I know choir's going to practice Wednesday and Thursday this week for the musical next week. So keep that in mind for all you folks involved in that. Pray that everybody stays well. You know, last year we had a 85% COVID outbreak in the choir the week of the musical. And you say, don't say that, it'll happen again. Well, but just know this. Pray for everybody's health. Pray for everybody's well. And we look forward to a great time next week. And I want you to always know this. I want you to know how much I love you. And there's absolutely nothing you can do about it. Amen? All right, let's stand to our feet. And Marty's going to sing us out.